Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to the next episode of the Paranormal Patriot. If you're hearing this, I'm in Mexico or in the bottom of the ocean, my plane crashed, or I've been beheaded by the cartel. Who knows? Hopefully I come back and can provide you with more intellectual intellect and give you more, who knows, give you more insight into what's going on in the world around you. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez, and quite frankly, I'm on vacation right now because this is the vacation show. If you are listening to this show, this may be the last time you hear my voice. The plane may have gone down. I may have run into the cartel. I don't know. Hopefully, those two scenarios don't come to fruition. But you're listening to the Paranormal Patriot. I am not in the country right now, but I want to give my listeners as many shows as they possibly can. Now, I mentioned it to you last show. You're not going to see these posted on Facebook. You're not going to see this show posted on my personal Facebook. You're going to have to look for it. You're going to have to do a little work. But I think it's going to be worth it. Now, this is going to be a very, 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 very short show. It might only be 15, 20 minutes, and that might be the magic number that my listeners want to hear my voice for. But during that 15, 20 minutes, I'm going to tell you what's going on in this country and around the world. Because right now, we are being inundated with inflation at 8.5%. And the Biden administration, as you know on my last show, is basically saying, nope, this isn't the Biden administration's fault, it's Putin's fault. Totally disregarding the fact that inflation was skyrocketing before Putin invaded Ukraine. Now, let me talk to you real quick about Ukraine. I watch numerous different news broadcasts. I watch Fox News. I watch OAN. I watch CNN, MSNBC, although it pains me to do so, but I will. Because I want to get both sides of the story. And here's my issue. We have even listeners of this show that were so absolutely against the media for their portrayal of the COVID pandemic, quote-unquote pandemic. They were like, oh, the media is just a bunch of shills, it's false news. But these are the same people that are believing anything the news media is saying about this Ukraine-Russian conflict. They don't question the same news media that was manipulating COVID numbers, that was falsifying Florida's numbers. They have no qualms about listening to this same media as to what's going on in Ukraine. Let's look at what's going on. I mean, right now, Zelenkov, the president of Ukraine, he's a rock star. He's got video where he comes on at the American Music Awards, the Grammys, the Oscars. This is not normal. I mean, this is a media, and I'm going to tell you right now, this is a media influence bias. This man is being propped up on a pedestal. He's being put on a national stage, and he's getting all these honorary diplomas and doctorates from numerous colleges across the country. At what point do we look at this as propaganda? We're going to sit there, and this is my biggest issue with the media and with half of the country today. We're going to look at the news, and we're going to say, oh my gosh, the Russians are killing people, although they're not saying they are. They're not. The Russians are saying we're not killing civilians, and we're going to call them liars. Because our media and the Western media and the European media are telling us that the Russians are perpetuating and instigating mass genocide. How do we know that that is the case? How do we know that the Russians aren't having German propaganda capitulated against them? We don't. We're taking our media's word for it. The same media that hid the Hunter Biden story knew it was true, but yet decided, nope, we're not going to run with it because it might change the outcome of the election. We are going to listen to this media that completely fabricated COVID numbers, completely fabricated how many people were dying of COVID, how serious it was, and are all a part of the state-run media that is all a part of getting vaccinated. We're going to listen to these people now because, well, this isn't in America. This is in Ukraine. Thinking that because they're in a foreign country, things are going to be different. They're not going to be different. There's still an agenda. And again, I feel I have to tell you this every single time. There is not a lot that I agree with Putin on. But I am a firm believer right now that he is getting the raw end of the deal, that some of these attacks are on the Ukrainian people are from the Ukrainian government just to make Putin look bad so he can look bad in the Western media. You know, again, you got Biden out there saying, well, he is committing genocide. At this point, I don't know who I trust more, Biden, the Democrat Party, or Putin. Who do you trust more? You have to ask yourself that. And it's a hard answer. It may be neither of them, and that's a good answer. But right now, I don't trust my government because my government is run by Democrats. And the Democrats are all about retaining power, gaining more money. That's all they care about. They don't care about you or I. So they're going to tell you the narrative whether you want to hear it or not. That's how it is in this country. And you could go into any country in this world and say the Labour Party in England, are they the same way? Look at Canada. Look at Venezuela. New Zealand. Karen in New Zealand just sent me a message saying, hey, we're moving in the right direction. But still, look at how they locked you down and said, you can't do this. You can't do this. When have we, I guess at what point did we say our government is in control of how we run our lives? I never gave them that power. But apparently a lot of you did. Members of government who have no idea what it is, what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. They have no idea what it's like to go to work at the butt crack of dawn every day and work all day just to survive paycheck to paycheck. They don't have a clue, and yet they're gonna make policies for us? No. No. I've mentioned it before. Back in the early foundations of this country, we used to have members of the House and members of Congress who would serve maybe a month or two and then go back to their constituents. And they would work their farm, they would work their shop, and they would listen to their constituents. That's how it's supposed to work. We're not supposed to have career politicians, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Jerry Nadler, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Lindsay McDonald, name it. Republican, Democrat, they're not supposed to be there for life. Most of them were born with a silver spoon in their mouth, which is something we don't know about. And these people who have never known any hardship, they've never known, how am I going to pay this bill? Do I forgo this bill to pay this bill, or do I forgo this bill to pay this bill? They've never known that. These are the people that are telling us how to run our lives. And they have no idea what it's like to live in the real world. The issue the good news on this all is there's more of us than them. There are more of us that are living paycheck to paycheck, that know what it means to put in a hard day's work. There are more of us than there are politicians. That's the good news. The bad news is we have no idea what to do with it. I'm going to tell you right now, get rid of them. It doesn't matter if you overthrow them or you vote them out. And honestly, we're not going to vote them out. It's name recognition at this point. To give you an example, in the state that I live in, Michigan, we have Debbie Stabenow, who has done nothing for this state for multiple terms, but yet she gets elected because, I know that name. She's got to be good. She's been in there multiple times. But there's more and more capable people than Debbie Stabenow. But yet, people don't look at the records, don't even bother to do any research on these candidates before they vote for them. They're just looking for name recognition. And it infuriates me. Honestly, I have been talking for years about doing research on these candidates. And obviously, it's fallen on deaf ears because if you are an incumbent, you're going to get reelected. So I want to end the show this week, and it's going to be a short show. This is my vacation show. I just want to put something out so you can hear my voice, weekly show. I want to adhere to that. But here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, this past week, we had a black gentleman get killed by a white police officer. And I can't believe I have to continue to say this, but this could have been avoided. Completely avoided. Now, there are University of Michigan scholars that said, well, if he was running, you shouldn't have let him run. Just let him go. Let him go. And other scholars said, well, why did he even stop him? Well, police cars nowadays, they have a function on them that will read license plates. They don't have to do anything. They just drive down the road, and this piece of technology will read license plates of cars that it passes. Well, apparently, the officer in question came across the car of Patrick Loyola, and its license plate was flagged. Now, if you've watched the show called Parking Wars, you will know that the parking authority in Philadelphia has essentially a sensor that will scan license plates and tell you whether or not it has parking violations or if it's stolen or something like that. Well, apparently, as this officer was coming up on this gentleman, his police car scanned his license plate, and it came up a little suspect. So the officer pulled this gentleman over. Now, it's a white officer and a black driver. That automatically turns into a nightmare. However, the driver of the car that was pulled over stops and gets out of his car and starts walking towards the police car. That is mistake number one. Because as an officer, you have no idea at this point what this person has in their system, let alone has on their person. So the first thing an officer should do would be to draw a gun. Safety. You have to protect yourself at that point. He drew a gun, and he kept saying, get back, get back, get in your car, get in your car. And this black man would not reciprocate that. He kept approaching the officer. And it turned into a scuffle. This officer took this person and tried to handcuff him under the precipice of resisting arrest, which he was. He was resisting arrest. And then a scuffle ensued. The officer and the suspect were on the ground, and you can hear the officer on his body cam camera telling the suspect, stop grabbing my taser, stop grabbing my taser. So, I want to tell you right now, I'm not a police officer, but if somebody grabs my taser and shoots me with it, I'm therefore incapacitated, and now my life is in danger. That officer had every reason to fear for his life. Now, during the scuffle, the officer pulled out a gun, his sidearm. I don't have an issue with that right now. Somehow, during this scuffle, the gun went off and shot the suspect in the back of the head. Killed him on impact. So now, the whole state of Michigan is up in arms. We need to train these police officers on how to deal with these situations. And here's my take on it. No, we don't need to train the police officers on how to deal with these situations. Because if I'm on the ground and I have somebody trying to grab my taser, if they grab my taser and tase me, I am a sitting duck. He can just walk up to me, grab my sidearm, put a bullet in my head, and I'm done. Maybe, just maybe, we should teach these black, these white, these Hispanic, these Asian kids, how to react and how to act in general when you're pulled over. This whole thing could have been avoided if this black man who was behind the wheel obviously had something going on, because he ran. He tried to run. So what was he hiding? If you get pulled over, I'm going to give my young kids and anybody that gets pulled over advice. If you get pulled over, hands on 10 and 2, pull down, roll down your window. When the officer comes, be cordial. Hello, officer. The officer will ask you some questions, and then he will ask you for your license and registration. And then what I would do if it were me is say, officer, I'm going to go in my glove box and grab my registration. That's all I'm doing. The officer has no reason to pull a gun on you. If you want to sit there and bitch and moan about the fact you're pulled over, and then you want to start running from the officer, then you're going to have issues. And again, this boils down to the fact I can't believe I have to say this. But if you get pulled over by an officer of the law, be respectful. Be cordial. This man that was killed in Grand Rapids, he was none of that. He got pulled over, jumped out of the car, and started running and literally being aggressive towards the police officer right from the get-go. So the police officer at that point has to pull a gun out. Then this man tried to run away, was resisting arrest. Somehow, I don't know, the gun went off and it put a bullet in the back of his head. Was the officer at fault? Yes, maybe. But this whole thing could have been avoided if we just teach our kids, hey, if you get pulled over, yes, sir. Yes, officer. No, officer. Thank you, officer. That's all. That's all you have to say. And that will avoid 99.9% of the issues. And the black community in Grand Rapids to say, well, he was afraid because he got pulled over by a white cop. It's an excuse. It's an excuse for you to be a hoodlum. Sorry. I'm going to call it like it is. If this gentleman would have pulled over and given this officer his license and registration, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Was the car stolen? Was he involved in criminal activity? Obviously, something was going on. So why is it the cop's fault? Why do we need to revamp the whole justice system? Why do we need to revamp the whole police department to teach them how to deal with black people? Maybe we should teach black people how to deal with police. Just my thoughts. I don't know. So this is the vacation show. It's going to be really short. Hopefully, as you're listening to this, I am laying on a beach or by the pool in 85 to 90 degrees in Mexico, not decapitated by the cartel or eaten by a shark. I'm hoping. If you don't hear from me by then, somebody take this recording and make a lot of money off of it. The last recording of the Paranormal Patriot. If I come back, well, yeah, this just takes this recording and turns it into nothing. So we're going to end the show. I played it for you last week. I want to play it for you this week. This is the newest song by Multiple Myselves and I, Tommy V. It's called Country Love, We're going way outside our country, our comfort zone. But I think it's a good song. Let me know what you think. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. And again, don't forget to go to 76patriot.net. Get some of those hats, get some flags, get some conservative views, and tell them I came here because of the Paranormal Patriot. All right, here you go. Country Love by Multiple Myself and Tommy B. Woohoo! Love my vacation. Talk to you next week.
Pretty lady, let's just go for a ride. You can sit right by my side and we'll be Bonnie and Clyde. We'll go for a ride down one of those dirt roads, but by the time we get back, it's gonna be cold. I'll put my arm around your shoulder and pull you close. I'm a pretty good guy, but I don't like to boast. I've got a German Shepherd and he sleeps in my bed. And if you play your cards right, you'll wake up right by his head. Let's lay a blanket on the grass and look at stars. I said I like John Deere, you said you like NASCAR. Loving every minute that I'm laying here with you, and I am hoping that you'll wanna make some country love with me too. All these shooting stars just lighten up the sky, but they pale in comparison to the twinkle in your eye. Butterflies in my stomach cause you're by my side, and I'm hoping and I'm praying that you'll let me be your guy.
Let's go.
Late night walks in mosquito-filled woods, and we're walking hand in hand, and we're feeling really good. Let's grab a beer and go sit on my tailgate. The night is going so fast, it's getting really late. I gotta make my move and tell you how I feel, but one thing's for sure, that this country love is real. Grab my hand, baby, and never let it go. I know tonight's fast, but I promise to be slow.
Hey, baby, cuddle close on my front seat. We're going to a party and I found on Annie Street. I've got beer on ice with some pucker here for you. Let's pick up your friends, there's enough of them too. We're gonna have a good time tonight. We're gonna dance and sing by the bonfire light. We're gonna have a good time tonight. Dancing and singing by the bonfire light. I'll put on my best and then I'll pick you up at 8. Don't worry what you wear, I'm sure you'll look great. Driving down the dirt road, kicking up dust behind. Man, this party is sure hard to find. In the distance, the light of the bonfire leads the way. The fire's so big, turns night into day. We pile out, grab the cooler with the beer in our hand. Can see people dancing around the fire, listening to the band. See, we're going to a party I found on Annie Street. I got beer on ice with some pucker here for you. I'll pick up your friends, there's enough of them too. We're gonna have a good party tonight. We're gonna dance and sing by the bonfire light. We're gonna have a good time tonight. We're gonna dance and sing by the bonfire light.